Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. And may all his precious saints here this morning declare his mercy endureth forever. And we thank you, Father, for the great mercy you've shown us and the mercy of God that led your son to the cross. How grateful we are for for that gift, for the sacrifice of your own son that enables us to even be here today to approach your holy throne in praise and thanksgiving. And Lord, we do pray that as we open up your word today, that you would speak to us, you would minister to us, and whatever truths are found in your scriptures here, Lord, encourage us, correct us, whatever it might be, Father, we just lift our hearts to you and pray your perfect will be accomplished in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated, and good morning to you. Continuing on in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. And today's message is part two of Gospel Fruit in Philippi. And you know, whenever the gospel is shared, God brings fruit. And this is what we're finding in Acts chapter 16. And it's going to continue next week, too, in part three. But as we know, as we've been studying here, after Paul the Apostle's first missionary journey, churches were established, and at this point in time in Acts chapter 16, Paul had desired to return to those churches to encourage them and to strengthen them, those churches that were established previously. And recall that God's Holy Spirit forbade him to go. And God has his purposes, doesn't he? Closed doors and open doors for certain. And God, in fact, in this case, his reasons were for incredibly great purposes. And you know, the reason he does what he does are all for his purposes. Always. He accomplishes his purpose in things that we may never even see or recognize, but you know, God sees them all. Well, when this command by the Holy Spirit was given to Paul, doesn't say that Paul was discouraged. No, he just accepted the closed door and he waited and prayed. And God sent a vision to him, remember? A vision of a man from Macedonia that was crying out for help. And Paul the Apostle immediately knew that this vision was from the Lord. And the scriptures tell us that he went immediately to preach the gospel. And isn't that a great thing? You know, Paul heard from the Lord and immediately he responded. And that ought to be our way as well. When God speaks to us to do something, we ought to respond with urgency and immediacy because it's God's plan for us. Well, as we studied last week, Paul, upon that vision, he went to the city of Philippi. And when he arrived, there was no synagogue to be found there for him to go and preach. Remember, that was his pattern. Whenever he'd go to a new city, he would find a synagogue, he'd go, and he would preach the gospel. In the absence of a synagogue, however, he did learn that there was a prayer meeting going down at the river. And there he went, and he found a group of women, and what were they doing? They were praying. Seeds for the church at Philippi. Well, Paul sat down among them, and he began to share, and as he spoke, the Holy Spirit pricked the heart of a woman named Lydia. We talked about Lydia last week. Lydia was an industrious woman, a woman that was a seller of expensive purple dye and clothing. And as Paul spoke, the Holy Spirit of God pricked her heart, opened up her heart, and she believed in Jesus. You know, and one of the points we made last week is as good as a person as Lydia was and highly respected in society, she realized she was lost apart from Christ and she so needed him. And isn't that the case with every single one of us? We so need Jesus. And we needed Jesus even before we knew we needed Jesus, but he knew we needed him. And he provided opportunities for us to hear the truth, to humble ourselves before God and confess that we're sinners and in need of a Savior. And this is what happened in Lydia's life. Well, Lydia got saved. It tells us in the scriptures that her whole household got saved and they were all baptized. Well, this morning, as we continue, we come to another account in verses 16 through 24. But in the account today, we find a demon-possessed girl. And it doesn't explicitly state that she was saved, but her account, however, is sandwiched between the salvation of Lydia and, as we're going to talk about, should the Lord tarry, the salvation of a Philippian jailer and his household. So she's sandwiched between those accounts, and I'd like to believe that in this case, she came to Christ. I don't know for sure, but either way, she was freed from bondage that she was in. Let's read verses 16 through 18. And it came to pass as we, this speaks of Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So here we have the account of this young woman, just a young girl, in a horrible condition. She's possessed with a spirit of divination. And think about this for a moment with me. You know, one that's demon-possessed, how horrible her life must have been. And you know, we have certain images in our mind, don't we, of what a demon-possessed person might look like. Maybe you've seen it in a movie or somewhere else. Maybe even seen a person personally. But whatever it is, what you learned in witnessing this or seeing it or viewing it, you realize, hey, this just isn't good. She was possessed by a fallen angel. That's the embodiment of evil and darkness, and torment was certainly part of her life. She's being controlled by an evil being, which dictated her words, which dictated her behaviors, her action, with no regard for the person other than to be used for evil purposes. That's this young woman. So there had to be emotional pain and torment, physical pain and torment, mental pain and torment. And we're told that she was a slave. She was a slave not only of the demon, but she was also a slave to her masters that used her and used her demon possession to make money for them. She would tell people their demonic-inspired fortunes and futures. And this is real. It happens. There's people that I've shared this with you before. Jackie has shared with you before, too, how before she came to Christ on a search. She was looking. And this is before I was saved as well. And she visited palm readers and told her incredible things about her life that they would have no way of knowing. There's no way for them to know. And it wasn't of God. It was the enemy trying to draw her into his trap. Fortune tellers, palm readers. And you know, God is so incredibly beautiful and wonderful, he didn't just let her go with that. In her continued seeking, she heard of a man in Webster that analyzed handwriting. Well, maybe this guy has some answers for me. And he did have answers for her, let me tell you. So she visits this man's house in Webster, carrying her toddler son, Kevin, with her, knocks on the door. The man opens the door, and Jackie looks in, and she sees that there's weapons all over the living room here. And if you know my wife, weapons and her don't mix. He saw her look, and he said, I don't want you to worry. Me and my son, we collect weapons. None of them are loaded. There's no ammunition. Please come in. So she goes in and she sits down. Kevin, in the meantime, fell asleep. He goes, I want you to know that I was a former FBI agent that analyzed handwriting for a living. I know that's why you came, but that's not why you're here. You came to receive Christ and hear the gospel. And exactly what he said he would do, he did. He shared the gospel with her. She went home that night and she received Christ into her heart. So God worked it out to his glory. into her blessing. But the point of the matter is, you know, God put her before him and he shared the truth, but there's many that share things that are not of the Lord and allow people to enter into a trap that's designed by the enemy to take them captive. Well, when you think about these men that held this young girl captive, taking advantage of her, you know, it's about as cold as a person can get. Couldn't possibly have too much of a conscience. Here's a girl, demon-possessed, and rather than get her the help that she needs, hey, we're going to take advantage of her and make money from her. Didn't care about her well-being. Didn't care about deliverance. They only cared, how can we merchandise this lady and make money from her? And you know what? No one ever receives sympathy from the devil. Never. But you would think that she would have received some sympathy from some people. So here we have this young girl. She's enslaved by the devil. She's enslaved by man, all alone in this world that most of us will never understand. And she has no one in her life except those that wanted to take advantage of her. Heartbreaking, isn't it? But you know, even in a situation like that, there is one hope. And that is the hope in Jesus. And this is what was brought to her. And maybe in this process, you know, of being tormented by the devil, maybe her thoughts went like this. Why would God want me? Why would he care about me? I'm owned by the devil. And you know, the devil will take a person's mind and twist it to thinking that there is no hope. Your future is set because the enemy wants to take full advantage and full possession. But you know, understand this too as a believer. If you belong to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And you don't have to worry about a devil possessing you. Light and darkness can't occupy the same place at the same time. So yeah, you'll be oppressed by the devil. Certainly, we're under enemy attack all the time, but you will not be possessed by a demon. Well, the world of demons, it's very real. And God warns us in the scriptures of the dangers of the occult. In fact, God warned his people before they stepped into the promised land what they would encounter. He said, there will be evil practices that you will see that are abomination to me. Stay away from them. And here's the instruction he gave in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. He said, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all of these do things that are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. He said, do not use divination. Divination is a means of trying to determine the future by various occultic means. Now, why is this dangerous? Well, it's dangerous because you'd be contacting spirits that are not of God. They're spirits of the devil who disguises himself. He can disguise himself as an angel of light. He can disguise himself as a bearer of truth. And the Bible tells us, however, in describing Satan, that he is a liar. He is a thief. And he's the father of all lies. And God says, because of that, I'm warning you. I'm warning my people. And knowing that, what God had shared, how dangerous that is, why would anyone attempt to consult with his spirit that's only meant evil for him and harm for this person? And you know, God has given us everything he wants us to know, past, present, and future. If there are more things he wants us to know, don't you think he'd share them with us? And yet there is an intrigue by man that says, I want to know more. I want to know the future. And you know, in a global sense, I know my future. I know I'm going to heaven. Praise God for that. And you know, God's saying, that's really what you need to know. Do I need to know what's going to happen tomorrow? No, unless God shows it to me. Do I need to know every single step of my future? If I did, it probably would scare me to death. But I know my great future. in heaven with Jesus Christ. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 tells us this: the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God says, I'll tell you what you need to know. And he also says, you shall not be an observer of times. He said this in Deuteronomy. Now, what's an observer of times? Well, it's an astrologer. Horoscopes. It's not kids' games. They shouldn't be in kids' hands anyhow. What I mean is to say this, that these are dangerous things. You know, there's horoscopes printed in the newspaper. I don't know if they still are, but they used to be. I used to read those things. God says, no. I don't want you to read those things. You know, consulting the stars for your present or your future. God says, don't do that. And if you do dabble in those things, I can urge you with one word, stop. Please stop, for your own good. He mentions also enchanters, means to view intently, like the flights of birds or the guts of animals in order to draw information from the future. Now, why would you do that? I don't know. I don't really like the look of guts of animals. But people do that. God mentions witches, those that cut up herbs and brew them for magical purposes or to bring celestial influences into their lives. But it will bring harm or evil through contact with the occult spirit world. A charmer. Those who cast spells by joining forces, and this is important to know, if a person casts spells, they're joining forces with demons. Consulter with familiar spirits, evil spirits. He also mentions necromancer, or necromancy. Those who consult with and attempt to commune with the dead. There's a lot of people that do that. These things are becoming more and more and more popular every single day. You know, you think about the kids' books, the Harry Potter series. What's it about? Sorcery, witchcraft, you name it, planting seeds into these young people's minds, thinking it's just fun. It's just fun reading. Well, it's not fun reading. It's dangerous reading. Special effects that we see in theater and on television, technology making mankind see things as a fascination with the occult. And people are fascinated with the occult. Understand this, as the world moves further away from the Lord, what do? We step further into the realm of the devil. It's in the toy stores, you know, tarot cards, all this stuff. We see psychics, Ouija boards. We see those that claim to know your future, and many people buy into it, literally. But you know what? You'd be buying into lies. And God describes these things as an abomination to him. Do you know what the word abomination means in the scriptures? It means a detestable thing, that something that is disgusting to God, causing vomiting or sickening. It makes God sick, so to speak. Not like we do, somehow he does, and I don't understand it, but God does. And God condemns those practices because he knows they are harmful, and they'll draw people into darkness and into the spirit of the devil. And let me say this too, when a person knocks on Satan's door, guess who answers? The devil answers. One of his demons, just waiting. Come on in. I've got something for you. Wickedness and evil. Galatians 5:20 mentions idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, and strife. And I'm not going to get into all those today. Seditions and heresies. Notice he mentions witchcraft. The Greek word for witchcraft is pharmakia. Pharmakia means use of drugs. Speaking here of, I'm not talking about Tylenol, he's talking about mind-altering drugs. I mentioned a witch as one who cuts up herbs and brews them. Isn't that what drugs are all about? In Paul's day, if you were involved in magic or sorcery, you used drugs, mind-altering drugs, to bring about evil effects. sorcery forbidden in the Bible. Then all of these things, you know, that Paul mentions here, they're all activities of the occult. And you see, dabbling in drugs is playing with the devil. That's knocking on his door. And he says, you come on in. It's his potion. It's his means of opening up your mind to him. So the taking of mind-altering drugs, which, you know, the drug culture that we live in and have lived in for some time, the drug culture and occult practices are very, very closely linked together. And those that partake, ultimately we find themselves caught up in darkness. And oftentimes, and you've probably seen people like this, there's a darkness in their eyes. It's like kind of frightening. Why? Why is that? Because there's a demonic influence about them because of their partaking of these mind-altering drugs. It's darkness. And a person opens themselves up to demonic influences or forces through the use of mind-altering drugs. Now, with the increase in the use of drugs and different potions of drugs, people are dying from them. Dying from them to the delight of the devil. Let me give you a few statistics here. In the year 2022, last year, there were 108,000 deaths from overdoses in our country. That's up 7%. That's a huge increase in 1 year. And the numbers are continuing to rise. The states of Washington and Wyoming, they saw a 22% increase. The state of Maine, an 18% increase. You would have never suspected that. New York City, 22% increase. New York State, apart from New York City, is 8%. You might say, well, that's good. No, it's not good. These are all increases. In many states, including New York State, have legalized marijuana to the harm of the citizens. Don't let them fool you. It's harmful. Ask any police officer to share his thoughts on this with you. He's going to tell you it's dangerous. You'll find out that the real reasons for increase in crime and deadly assaults are because of drug use. Go to any prison, ask the officers what they see. They'll gladly tell you, you know what, the devil's having a field day. Any activity that invokes any spirit other than the Holy Spirit is a form of witchcraft and sorcery. Psychics, palm readers, horoscopes, all designed by the devil to do what? To take your focus off God and place your focus upon the occult. And again, these things are real, they're an abomination to God, and they're detestable. Yet, people have a fascination with the occult, the film world, video games, an increase in occultic practices in video games, all designed with those kind of themes. For what purpose? To draw people away from God, take their focus away from what is good, what is right, what is wholesome, what is lovely, what is of good report, and place it in the minds of youngsters into a fascination with the occult. And you know what? It is portrayed as fun. It's not fun. It's dangerous, deadly, and could be spiritually lethal. And you know, family, without repentance, we're going to continue down this path. You cannot tap into evil in the way our culture is tapping into evil and explore it in the depth that we're exploring it without opening the door up to that realm. There is evil in the world. You know that. You see it. You feel it. You sense it. It's here. But you know there's an evil spirit behind it all that's evil, and that is the devil. There exists in the human soul a great vulnerability to this kind of environment, not to mention false religion and false spirituality. How many times have you heard of accounts where a vicious crime was committed and the person said, God told me to do that? That's not God speaking. That is someone who's listening to the devil, the great deceiver, speaking lies into the life of a person that has opened themselves up through pharmakia to believing those lies. Well, this young girl that we see in Acts chapter 16, possessed by this demon, she's possessed by a python spirit. Interesting. And if you look this word up, the word divination that you see in verse 16, you're going to find the Greek word puthon, which is transliterated python. The spirit of Python, and Python was a serpent sacred to the Roman god Apollo. And this young girl, more than likely before demon possession, she worshipped Apollo. And therefore, in worshipping this false god, she opened up herself to demon possession. It's a very, very serious business to follow false religion and to follow false spirituality, because it's as effective in opening up a person to the demonic realm than anything else. Some people in this time in Acts chapter 16 believe that Apollo spoke through this young girl. And Apollo must have given her this counsel. And people would line up to hear what she had to say, and you know what? They were willing to pay a lot of money to do it. Do you know in 2022, Americans spent $2.22 billion on psychic services? $2.22 billion. And you know, there's millions of people that will not make a move without consulting with a clairvoyant or a spirit medium who they believe is for illumination because of their contact with the unseen world. And you know, the internet is a hotbed for witchcraft. A particular site, which I will not name, on TikTok has over 5 billion views. That's a lot of views. Instagram, over 5.5 million posts related to witchcraft. On the web sales organization Etsy, you can buy over 400,000 products that are tagged witchcraft. Do you think we have a problem? We've got a problem. And the problem is people following the occult rather than following God. This young girl was controlled by a demon, and the people flocked to her. They wanted to hear what she had to say. So Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, they left the city on their way to the river to pray. Again, verse 17 tells us this. The same means this young girl, she followed Paul and us, and she cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, verse 18 and says this, "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour." And you know, the words that she shared, the message that she shared, was absolutely right. But it had the potential to create confusion in people, causing them to begin to think that what this woman was about and what Paul were about were the same thing. Well, her and Paul are sharing the same message. But hers was from her worship of Apollo. Paul's from a worship of God. People would be confused that the spirit behind this woman and the spirit behind Paul were the same spirit. And the origin of Paul's message and the power that moved him, as hers was. Now, think about this for a minute with me, because this is important. She gave a very similar message that Paul gave. What did she say? "These men are servants of the Most High God." Yes, that's true. "Which show us unto the by the way of salvation," which is true. But hers was misleading and would lead people to legitimize her in what she was doing. When you speak to a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness, you can ask them about Jesus. "Do you believe in Jesus?" You know what they would say? "Yeah, of course we believe in Jesus." There seems to be a similarity. But unfortunately, many people stop there and think, well, because they believe in Jesus, Hey, they got to be Christians. But if you dig a little bit deeper than their simple words, then you'll learn very, very quickly that the Jehovah's Witnesses nor the Mormons, neither of them are Christians. The Jehovah's Witnesses deny the Trinity of God. They deny that Jesus is God. They deny the resurrection. So their view of Jesus is not a biblical view, and therefore it is what? It is false. If Jesus isn't God, he can't possibly be a perfect sacrifice and cannot forgive sin and can't be the Savior. And if that's the case, what then did Jehovah's Witnesses do? They base their salvation on themselves. That's why they go door to door to door. Good works. That's not of God. The Mormons believe and teach this, that God the Father used to be a man on another planet and became a God by following the God on that planet. And then he came to this world with his wife and became a goddess, and they produced spiritual offering and offspring in heaven, produced Jesus, the devil, and each of us born into pre-existence. And these pre-existing spirits inhabit babies at birth. This is what they teach. So they're saying Jesus and the devil are brothers. I don't think so. Clearly, this is not biblical, and it's false, and it can't be trusted. And you see, if Jesus was a created being, he can't be God, he can't atone for sin, and he cannot be Savior. It's not the same Jesus. The devil is crafty, isn't he? This particular religion, the Mormon religion, it looks so good, the people are so nice, and yes, praise God, they're nice, but they're deceived. They're believing a lie. And Satan can disguise himself as a bearer of truth. My Bible says this, and so does yours. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, the Mormon books are given by a so-called angel named Moroni. Which will you believe? Will you believe the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, or a so-called angel? I believe in the Holy Spirit of God. Because he always speaks truth, and he always points to Jesus as Lord and Savior and the Son of God, the beloved Son of God. Well, Paul the Apostle, in this account, it seems as though he had just about enough. The Holy Spirit spoke to him and gave him the source of what she was saying. And the Scriptures say he was grieved. And I suspect he was grieved on two accounts, by the demon and also the condition of this girl. And he spoke directly to the demon, and he said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And you know what? The demon departed. Think about what her life was. From one moment to the next. One moment, she's in bondage. She's in torment at the hands of this demon. And the next moment, she is free as a bird. And it was based on what? It was based on the name of Jesus Christ. That name above every name. Jesus is greater than any power of any devil. And I'm so thankful. Otherwise, there'd be no hope for us, would there? Well, of course, when this demon came out of her, she's no longer possessed. She was a slave to these men, and what happened next? It infuriated them. They took advantage of her demon possession to make money, and guess what? Their source of income dried up. It hit their wallets. When somebody hits somebody's wallet, they're generally not very happy. These guys weren't happy. And you know, they didn't care about her. They didn't care about her life. The only thing they cared about is this young girl is making money for us. Now the money's dried up. Cruel, wicked men. A woman being tormented by a demon. They take advantage of her. It doesn't get much worse. Well, let's read verses 19 through 24. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas. Let's take care of these guys. They just robbed us of our income. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Well, I don't think they're troubling the city. They're troubling these guys. "They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent or tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Threw them in jail. The inner prison. There's an outer and there's inner, and they put them on in stocks. They chained them. And we'll learn next week that there were many guards guarding them. And God did this incredible jailbreak. He's good at jailbreaks, isn't he? Yeah, he sure is. But you know, when I think about this, if Satan can't stop the work of the Lord through out and out persecution, he's going to try to hinder it by patronage, just like he did with this young girl. These men are men of the Most High God, bringing the gospel, the good word, the good news of salvation. No, that was patronage. What she said was right, but what was behind it was pure wickedness, and Paul knew it. We don't need anything the devil has to offer. Yet, so many people are deceived into following him and his ways. And we see this in our society, don't we? What do we need? We need truth. Who do we need? We need Jesus, don't we? He's the answer to all of this. I want to close with Ephesians chapter 6. Not the whole chapter or whole book, but not the whole chapter. Beginning in verse 10, this is for all of us. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So he's acknowledging, yeah, there's a demon realm that we need to stand strong against. Then he tells us this: "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in all in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." This is what we're to do. There's a lot of evil around us. But you know what? We don't have to be partakers of that. And what an opportunity that God has given us in a time such as this. With as much taking place in our world around us now, you know, with the things that I cited today, some of the statistics on people spending so much money and pursuing this and that and the other thing, all authored by the devil, what a great opportunity we have to shine brightly for Jesus Christ, don't we? And as Paul said here in Ephesians 6, stand, stand, stand. In other words, don't sit on your hands, stand. And stand for truth, stand for Jesus, stand for light, stand for love. You know, we can't hate these people. They're deceived. And I thank the Lord. You know, when my wife went dabbling in these things, not knowing any better because she was never told, she thought she would find truth. Praise God, she did find truth. Yeah. This man had enough love in his heart when he said to her, I don't do this anymore, but I'm going to see you today for some reason. I don't know why, but God knew why. Can we be like that? Standing for truth, unashamed to bring the truth of Christ to someone. And that someone, if they don't know Jesus, they're on the road to hell. What can we do? What can we do to rescue them from the fire? Bring the truth of Christ to them. And maybe you think I was unkind to the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm trying to be truthful. They think they're doing what's right. But if you examine what they teach against the Scriptures, you realize very quickly they're way off base. They need to be loved on with the truth. And I've had many opportunities to talk to both of them. And they're very, very well equipped and versed and trained to counteract everything that you say. And they'll make it sound good. That's why Paul said, stand. Stand strong. Know what you believe and why you believe it. This is very, very, very important, especially in these last days in which we live. We need the truth, and we certainly need Jesus. And you know, as I think about this young girl, probably in her teens, in the world that she entered into, because of false worship, worshiping Apollo, and the devil saw that as an opportunity to creep in and take possession of her. Not unlike what we find in the world today, false religion, opening themselves up to the lie of the devil and to believe the lie. She was in bondage, and God freed her. And maybe today, you know, maybe you don't feel like, maybe there's some here, maybe you don't feel like you're in bondage, but, you know, if you have not yet received Christ into your heart, then you're actually in bondage. The devil's got you. I'm not saying he's in there, but he's got you. And he'll do everything in his power to keep you from embracing the truth. Maybe today is the day when you say no to him and yes to Jesus. How about that? How about that? Would you pray with me, please? If you haven't received Christ, it is so incredibly important. It is eternally important that you receive Jesus. So please pray with me. And Father, I come to you today. And I didn't realize that I'm in bondage to the work of the enemy. But Lord, my heart's desire this morning is to just be held tightly by you. So I surrender my ways. I give them up. And I confess my sin to you. Doing things, following things that just aren't right. And I come to you as the righteous and holy one. The one that loves me. And no one can love like you do. And you love me so deeply and wonderfully before I even knew it. But today, it's your love that brought me here to this place to receive you into my life. So I invite you, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, come into my life. I realize and understand that you died on the cross for me. You poured out your blood that I could be forgiven. And I am forgiven. I am set free as of this very moment in time. Please be the Lord of my life. Direct me and guide me. And help me to turn away from the things that once held me back from you. And help me to walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm so thankful for passages like this. Because it really sheds a light on